Join us now for Call to Worship, dedicated to presenting the truth of God's Word. Call to Worship is sponsored by Zion Chapel.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice.
Guide me, O thou great Jehovah, pilgrim through this barren land. I am weak, but thou art mighty. Hold me with thy powerful hand. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Feed me till I want no more. Reading from Romans chapter 8, verse 27. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Let's give thanks for these words and pray that we will understand them. Naturally, we have no understanding, but God can open our understanding to understand the Word. as he did with the apostles, Jesus on the day of his resurrection. We also need submission, especially to these verses that we have read. Many have not submitted to them. And as one man has written, when we do not submit to them, then rebellion against God has not ceased. I believe it was Mr. Dagg, who lived in the 1800s, who wrote that. Let's pray that we will have submission. And not only that, but thankfulness for all that is written here, and that it may be true of us today. Our Father in heaven, we come to thee through Christ, who is on thy right hand, who is making intercession for us. And we pray, Lord Jesus, that thou wilt be praying for us, that the Spirit might lead us, that we might be led into all truth, that we might especially have the things of thine revealed to us, as we are told here of the plan of thee, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, already before the foundation of the world, that thou dost predestine and plan, and then in time call in the different ways, calling to be conformed to the image of thy Son, called to be justified, called to be glorified, a call that cannot be resisted. And we give thanks for it, and we pray that it might once again come, as it did in Thessalonica, where Paul could write, "We came not in word only, but in power with thy Holy Spirit and in much assurance," that it was in that way that Paul knew they were predestined, they were elect. And Father, we know that of thy plan, the calling is the outcome of it, the outworking of thy Spirit, calling us to thee in repentance, calling us to Christ in faith. And we pray that that call may be given again in a mighty measure in the church to revive it, to awaken it, and in the world there might be those added to the church, even again daily, as was done the day of Pentecost and following, that once more we might see that. We confess we are sadly in the time of falling away, when the church is lessening, both in truth and in numbers. And we pray, Father, especially for the next generation, that we might teach them. We pray for the homes to be right with thee, rightly established, right to continue, right to be restored where they are broken. And we pray for the children of broken homes that are often in trouble and frustration, some having taken their own lives, even many going to drugs. We pray that thou wilt make them come to thee. We pray that thou wilt make many to take thy word, to read it, to believe it, to act on it, and that thou wilt teach them through it, that they might, in that word, know that they are to hear the word of the church, and thou wilt call more laborers to go into all the fields that are white of the harvest, and where the laborers are few. We pray, Father, for thy blessing on those in suffering, for thy name's sake, those that are suffering in other ways, the homeless, the hungry, the war-torn lands. We pray especially for the persecuted, ones that are in prison for their faith. We pray for one that has just been returned to prison. We pray for others, Father, persecuted in different ways, and we pray that they may experience what thou hast said. Blessed are they that are persecuted. Help us also to see that there is a worse way than to be persecuted, in the way of lukewarmness. What a danger we are then in. And we pray that thou wilt take us out of our lukewarmness in our nation, where we have freedom and where we have been careless, especially in not being a salt and a light as we should be. And we pray that thou wilt so awaken and revive the church that it will be a salt and a light in every area, that it will teach again the rest of the nation of creation and not evolution, that it will teach thou shalt not kill, that we will not continue to murder the unborn. Thou wilt teach that what thou hast joined together, that we will not put apart in the home, and many other ways that thou hast taught us the right marriages and the wrong ones. We pray, Father, for all of this, and give thanks through Christ. Also, we pray for the physical needs that are there for the sick, that they might have healing, and that thou, the great physician, Lord Jesus, will give that today, as thou didst to many, both thyself and through the apostles, in those times when thou wast here on earth. We ask it again, and give thanks in thy name alone. Amen. Looking at this blessed chapter again, giving much in the way of faith, much in the way of hope, as we saw earlier, verse 24, "For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope, for what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for?" Certainly, We need to do, as the songwriter told us, guide me, O thou great Jehovah, pilgrim in this barren land. I am weak, but thou art mighty. Hold me with thy powerful hand. Some do not want to believe that. I think I've mentioned before how one well-known evangelist stated that God is powerless unless we let him in the way of the new birth. I've heard it. I've also seen it in writing where the doctrine of the new birth was described. But God is not powerless. And certainly we can see that in many places in Scripture over and over. We know it, say it. If you pray the Lord's Prayer, it ends with, "For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever." Amen. It was there from the beginning. God created the world in power. He spoke the word and he spoke it into existence. And that took a power, a wonderful power. And that power still consists of upholding the world by the word of his power, but is especially made known in salvation and what a power it takes to give us what we just read here. When we think of salvation and when we think of things more in general, all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. It takes power to make those work for good. For those who are described earlier, each one of us, when we think of the sixth verse of this same chapter, "For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be." And that's where that power must take place, to change us from having a carnal mind, which is enmity against God, not subject to the law of God, to being subject, like Paul said, of himself, "And I died." He was in rebellion. He was the persecutor. But the power of Christ came to him and changed him. As Christ said, "Except you be converted and become as a little child, you cannot enter the kingdom of God." And Paul was like a little child. "Who art thou, Lord? What wilt thou have me to do?" And now Paul is teaching us, God inspiring him to write to this church at Rome and as well to us today. This is a word from God for each one of us. Let's again think of it. Not only the first verse that we read, "He that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God." God knows all things. He knows the mind of the Spirit. He knows the Spirit working in us. He knows where there is right prayer and also where there is wrong prayer. Sadly, where there's not enough prayer. As James says, "You have not because you ask not, because we ask amiss to consume it on our lust." That has happened many times. I'm sure that in the history of the Jews before this, many prayed for a king in Israel, in Judah, that would overcome the Romans, and that was their lust. They wanted to be something in this world, and were not like their father Abraham, whom we read, he had here no abiding city, but he looked for a city of whom God was the builder and the maker. And only then can we have what we read here in the middle part of that 28th verse, "to them that love God." Just think, what a difference. Going back again to the 7th verse, "The carnal mind is enmity against God." And here we have, "work together for good to them that love God." It isn't that he said there are some that are at enmity and there are some that have love. It is true that is the outworking after the Spirit has worked. But until the Spirit has worked, there is none that doeth good. No, not one. There's none that love God. We are together in that way, enmity against God. And I mentioned it before, I think I mentioned it last week, of what Christ said to Nicodemus, "Everyone that does evil hates the light." I think it needs to be repeated because so few believe that. Many think, "I've always loved the Lord. I always love my neighbor." And many live in that way without the gospel of Christ, knowing about the gospel, but not knowing their great need of it. The gospel is Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, was buried, rose again according to the Scriptures. That's the message from Genesis to Revelation. As soon as Adam sinned, the message was there. The seed of the woman will bruise the head of the serpent. It was given to Abraham, in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. All. Israel, the Jews, ones that Abraham was father of directly, they were blessed in Christ being born amongst them. But the blessing of Christ was for all families, all nations. Christ said on the day of his resurrection that repentance and remission of sin should be preached among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem, to preach in his name, one name for all nations. Amazing grace. The result of having heard the gospel in Rome, and now Paul could say to those people who formerly had been at enmity and now were subject to God's law through Christ, as we could read in the 29th verse, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. The mind that is in us is enmity. We are told by Paul, as he wrote to another church, let this mind be in you which was in Christ Jesus. What was that mind? Always and everything to the glory of God. Christ could say, I've glorified thy name. He could also say, when thinking of the terribleness of his death that was about to take place and just before then, that he would be glorified in that. And he is. And as Paul writes to the Philippians, that he went to the death of the cross, and wherefore he has given a name which is above every name, that in the name of Jesus every knee should bow. That's to his glory, the glory of the grace of God, the grace of Christ, the grace of the Spirit. And that's what Paul is talking about here. All the result of what God planned before the foundation of the world. And that's why he uses the word predestinate, predetermine. Yes, God did predetermine things before the world. He determined to create it. He determined the things in it. He determined all things for it. And some of them, as he told Noah after the flood, that summer and winter, springtime and harvest, cold and heat, day and night would not cease. It's in God's hand. The God of power, the God of truth. And wonderfully, yes, wonderfully, the God of our salvation, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who in that plan of predestination said he would pay the price of his own life, the price of his own blood. God planned it and God gave his Son. The Son was willing to do that to the glory of the Father, for the love of mankind, and the Holy Spirit was willing to apply it. And that's what is said when we read here, for whom he did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. Christ said just before his death, the Spirit would take the things of him and show them to us. And not just show them in the Word, but show them in power. Actually, make those who are called, those who are predestinated, to be conformed, to be made like God's Son. Not in perfection, but in beginning. If any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, all things are become new. Everything. Not as good as it should be, like the Corinthians. They were still described as babes, but they were new babes. They had been made babes. Babes in Christ. Yes, later, they matured. When Paul wrote them that they were carnal, and because of that he called them babes, they mourned with a fervent mourning. Yes, a baby can cry, But it will take a person that is mature to cry over their sin. And that's what the Corinthians did. Having received that letter from Paul, calling them what they were, and sinners, calling them even in that sinful state, puffed up, proud, and all these different ways he described them. We want to go into that further. That is what we need today. We need it, again, to be more conformed to Christ. Christ wept over Jerusalem the Sunday just before the time of his suffering, his death. And when Christ came and they wanted to crown him king, called him the Son of David, he wept over Jerusalem and said, "Thou dost not know the time of thy visitation." All of that was Christ knowing it, doing it to the glory of God and to the good of mankind. We call it Palm Sunday, but also a time of weeping. We read Christ wept there. We also read that Christ wept at the grave of Lazarus and groaned in the spirit. He knew our weaknesses. He knew our suffering. He was, as Paul wrote to another church, in all points tempted like we are, but without sin. So we can be conformed to that one blessed Son of God, called Jesus, because he shall save his people from their sins. But as a risen Savior, we can and must be conformed to him. We must die as he died, that's pictured in baptism, and then rising to newness of life, coming up out of the water. That is the new life in Christ, the way of his resurrection, and the way of our resurrection from being dead in sin. Following Christ, conformed to Christ, all in God's plan, whom he did foreknow, he did also predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Church here at Rome, they went through that. They came to have their mouth stopped. They came to be guilty before God, and they came to know the blessed message. But now, the righteousness of God without the law is manifest, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. And now, Paul is teaching them further, explaining God's plan before the foundation of the world. That's when predestination took place, and it follows through when he does what we read here in the 30th verse, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. That is a call in power. Paul, writing to the Thessalonians, said, "We came not in word only, but in power, with the Holy Ghost and much assurance." Just before that, he says, "Knowing your election," or "knowing that you were chosen," or "knowing that you were predestinated." All those words have much the same meaning. Sadly, many want to explain them away. Terrible. Not submit. In our pride, we don't know how much we need that. We need it desperately. If we don't know it, if we don't believe it, and I know I've been there myself for 10 years, thinking I did something toward my salvation. And I didn't like to hear the word election, predestination. I was like the shallow ground, or the stony ground hearer, as Mark describes it. "And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended." That was me. I was offended at the word. I did not want to hear the word election, really. I knew it was in the Bible, but I even made the statement, it should not be preached. Terrible, proud, rebellious, not the way that Christ said we must be. This is what he brings us to when he calls us irresistible. When that call comes in power, then we read, "Whoso cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show him who he is like. He is like a man which built an house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose and the stream beat vehemently upon that house, and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. Dug deep. Threw away what we thought we could build on first. Paul said he had more than others. Circumcised the eighth day, tribe of Benjamin, according to the law, blameless. I count all these things but dung. He dug them away, that he might know Christ and the power of his resurrection. Even more than he did earlier in his life, he wanted more of that. Lay the foundation on Christ alone. I've said it before, and I repeat it again. Christ alone. Not your works, not even your faith. Yes, you can have a faith, but it's given by God. It's the faith of Christ as well as the faith in Christ. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. Paul said to the Galatians, before faith came, we were shut up under the law, guilty. Had to be taught by the law, and then pardoned. And then the faith which is afterwards revealed. As Paul said of himself, that same letter, he revealed his Son in me. Yes, it's a revelation from heaven when God gives his Son to sinners, to those that were before that enmity and now are subdued, now become as children, now know with shame what sinners we were, born sinners, acting sinners, and sinners in unbelief, despising Christ, rejecting him, as Isaiah writes in that 53rd chapter. When we saw him, there was no beauty that we should desire him. He's despised and rejected of men. That's the Christ of the Bible. Yes, we can have a Christ of our own making, thinking he's like us, but he's not. He's one with the Father. And the Father tells us his ways are higher than ours, as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are his ways than our ways, and his thoughts than ours. But he can reveal them to us, and he can hide them from us. The Lord Jesus said, thanking the Father, these things are hid from the wise and prudent and revealed unto babes. All of that takes place. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. It is in love, it is with power, it is in truth, and it was all planned before the foundation of the world and will be fulfilled until Christ comes again. And we must know that. The best we can do is say with the songwriter, guide me, O thou great Jehovah. Yes, he's great. Pilgrim through this barren land. I am weak, but thou art mighty. Hold me with thy powerful hand. And then the second stanza, open now the crystal fountain, whence the healing streams doth flow. Let the fire and cloudy pillar lead me all my journey through.
To God be the glory, great things he hath done. So loved he the world that he gave us his Son.
Thanks for listening to Call to Worship. If you have questions or comments regarding today's program, you can write to Zion Chapel, 937 Royce Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423. Or their email address is worship@calltoworship.org. For more information on Call to Worship and its ministry, visit their website at calltoworship.org. Listen again next week at this time for Call to Worship, sponsored by Zion Chapel.
Praise the Lord.